knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all...
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Today, I'll give a review of some of the important developments of the last few days, and then I'll be glad to take calls during the second hour. I begin with a report from Sybil Edmonds, who's a real smart woman, that there are plans to incite the Muslim community by pitting an act of violence against a Muslim on a white Trump supporter. Of course, what could be more obvious? Pamphlets have already been printed and handed out, planned and coordinated. So you can take that one to the bank. Meanwhile, we have the rather remarkable development. Antifa seizes Seattle Police Department, sets up autonomous zone, just like ISIS and the Paris Commune, just as the Islamic State claimed territory in Iraq and Syria. Antifa militants have claimed territory in Seattle, Washington. According to reports on the ground from the post-millennials Andy Ngo and Town Hall's Julio Rosas, two sources, protesters and Antifa instigators have seized land in the capital area around the Seattle Police East Precinct. Like ISIS, the rioters appear to have decided on setting up a government in their occupied territory, naming it Free Capitol Hill. I mean, this is ridiculous. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan is allowing a dangerous situation to fester. Antifa militants have taken over and created an autonomous zone within their own rules. A police precinct abandoned. Antifa set up barricades to create a border, calling for volunteers to provide armed guards. Now, remember, we had the situation in Minnesota where the police abandoned a precinct which Antifa and Black Lives Matter took over. Now you have a similar situation here in Seattle. Both cities are controlled by Democrats. Both cities appear to have directed the police to surrender their precincts. Frankly, from a military or law enforcement point of view, that is the last thing you would want to do. If you believe in law and order, if you're not on the side of the agitators, you would never do this, which means that we have here incredibly damning evidence that the Democrats are actually on the side of Antifa and Black Lives Matter to destroy law and order in the United States, to mount an insurrection against the American government. This is really serious stuff. Now, Donald Trump appears to be giving them all the rope they can use. In other words, I do not believe that we will see the president make any effort to respond. After all, this is the capital of Washington, of the state of Washington. Washington has its own National Guard, or is it Spokane? Seattle is, of course, by far the largest city in Washington, if not the capital. And Washington has its own National Guard. This is a matter where the Washington State Police and the National Guard ought to be able to handle the situation effortlessly. Similarly, in Minneapolis, there was no reason why the Minneapolis police needed to withdraw. They could have held them off. I mean, think of the downside to letting monsters take control of your police force. They gain access to the armory. They have a new cache of weapons. Typically, the police are going to have higher quality and more powerful weapons than most of the non-police would have access to. So it's a very, very bad idea. You're giving up command and control. You're giving up communications. Bad, bad, bad all the way around. So this leads me to conclude, given we have now two instances of a kind where we should not have even one, that it's pretty obvious that the Democrats are in on this. They're on the side of Antifa. And in fact, I'll have further reason to confirm that suspicion as I proceed. Julio Rojas also reported from the scene. I'm outside of the Seattle Police Department's East Precinct for a town hall. Police have pulled out of the area and protesters have set up barricades in the street. They have declared it a cop-free zone. I'm reminded of the line in Natural Born Killers, which my wife could not bear to watch even more than 5 minutes, where Mickey is saying to Mallory, you know, she's saying she hasn't seen any cops at all so far in this particular town they're driving through as they go through Route 66, wreaking murder and mayhem everywhere they go. I mean, it's actually philosophically an extremely interesting film. I even wrote Oliver Stone a letter about it, because the first half is about crime, the second half is about punishment. The first half is the circumstances, domestic abuse, for example, child abuse, for example, that are breeding grounds for violence. The second half, ultimately, about the redemptive power of love. There's an ongoing theme about how tabloid journalism drives out serious news. Today, of course, we don't even have the pretense of serious news from the mainstream media. All they do is give us propaganda, and it appears to be endless propaganda. In any case, Mallory's observing as they're driving through a town that she hasn't seen any cops. And Mickey turns to her and said, wouldn't that be perfect, a copless town? Remember, these are arch criminals. What could arch criminals or could any criminal want more than a copless town? This whole idea of having a defunding the police force is frankly so completely absurd that if this were the only dumb idea the Democrats had come up with, I think it would guarantee their defeat in November. But they have many, many more, some of which we will address as I proceed today. Rojas also shared posters with demands from the rioters. I mean, it's always nice to know what they want. Some of the signs posted around the area, one calls for defunding of the Seattle Police Department and the dropping of all charges against protesters. Another says the cops will always be racist because capitalism requires inequality. But why should they think the cops are racist? I'd venture half of the police force in the United States is Black or Latino anyway. We even had, you know, we had an Asian and another black officer at the George Floyd event, which was clearly staged. I think there can be no doubt about it. So why would you presume the cops are racist? In fact, it turns out that when you get into race and criminality, blacks are more highly represented in our prison population than they are in the population at large in terms of proportion, because blacks are causing, performing most of the crimes. They are doing the more of the armed robberies, more of the rapes, more of the murders. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. So what these protesters aren't mentioning is degree of criminality or propensity to commit crimes, which is overwhelmingly greater among blacks than it is among other groups. In fact, a chart that I have used, I may have it here tonight, shows that the by far the highest percentage of crimes are committed by blacks. The second by Native Americans, which sounds fine, not in terms of number of crimes. Here I have it here. Not in terms of number of crimes, but a number of crimes per capita. In other words, while the Native American population is relatively small, it's a high proportion of that small population that nevertheless engages in criminality. And blacks, overwhelming. I mean, they carry the banner. They carry the day. They win the award for best in property crime, drug abuse violations, larceny, theft, driving under the influence is one where Native Americans actually exceed blacks. Indians, you know, notoriously have difficulty with alcohol. I think that's, in fact, genetic. Violent crimes, blacks way out in the lead, aggravated assault, blacks, burglary, blacks, vandalism, blacks, weapons carrying possession, blacks, fraud, blacks, robbery, blacks, stolen property, buying, receiving, possessing, black. I mean, look, this is so stupid, the debate that's going on out there, because it's not paying attention to the racial dimension of the commission of crimes. Here, 2014, New York City crime statistics, 2014, murders, 62% of the murders in New York City in 2014 were committed by blacks, 32% by Hispanics. Now, put those numbers together, 62 and 32, and you got 94. 94% of the murders in New York City were committed by blacks or Hispanics. How about shooting? 75% by blacks, 22% by Hispanics. Add them together, you get 97% of the shootings in New York City in 2014 were committed by blacks or Latinos. How about rape? That's the only category in which the Latinos exceed the blacks. Blacks, 43%, Latino, 46. So you got 89% of the rapes in New York City in 2014 were committed by blacks or Latinos. They go on to observe that if New York City were all white, that rape would drop by 83%, murder by 91%, shootings by 96%. But, you know, we can't even talk about this. We can't even talk about this because you're accused of hate speech. If you point out that the reason why there are many more blacks in prison is because blacks have a stronger propensity to commit crime. Now, sociologists and social scientists endlessly debate whether that's a genetic or if it's cultural. In other words, is there a genetic predisposition among blacks to commit crimes? I seriously doubt that. And I have published on the differences between genetic evolution and cultural evolution. You might want to consider my book, The Evolution of Intelligence, which has many fascinating aspects where I'm talking about not only the difference between human minds as thinking things and computers as inanimate machines, and why human beings are possessed of thought and these inanimate machines are not, but the emergence of a human mentality from its primate precursors, where the closest facsimile is, in fact, the mountain gorilla, which displays three different modes of mentality I discuss extensively there. which are known as iconic, thinking in terms of images, things that look like what they stand for or smell like or taste like or in other ways resemble what they stand for. Icons, which are causes or effects of that for which they stand. And finally, symbols, which are merely habitually associated to that for which they stand. For example, a painting of a horse, you know, is iconic. It looks like the horse, presuming it has four legs, a tail, a neck, a head, all that, right? Realistic paintings. Now, you get something by Picasso, and it's not so much a resemblance relation and becomes far more abstract, which was his contribution to art, to use non-representational forms of painting or representation to capture certain ideas, for which, of course, he's been lauded in the history of aesthetics. Icons. Well, you could have recent, you could have footprints, you know, hoof prints in the in wet sand. You're not going to get any hoof prints in dry sand. We're going to get hoof prints in wet sand. This is one of the arguments I make, by the way, about the moon landing. Since there's no atmosphere and no water on the moon, presumably moon dust ought to be no more capable of receiving the imprint of a moon rover than is dry sand capable of receiving or making the imprint from a horse print. You can't, and yet we have rover tracks all over the place. So that, you know, that's, in my opinion, a falsification that we went to the moon. But anyone who wants to brush up on the evidence, which is simply overwhelming and compelling, go to jimtheconspiracyguy.com and look at my second presentation. With a third, which was on the New Zealand shooting, has yet to be posted. There was a technical glitch during the show, and I've had to redo it. It should be up possibly as early as tomorrow, but it will be up before next Sunday, when from 8 to 10 Central Time, I'll be addressing gun control and the politics of the Second Amendment. How appropriate, right? Gun control and the politics of the Second Amendment at jimtheconspiracyguy.com. In any case, you know, you have icons that look like or resemble, smell like, taste like, whatever they stand for, indices, causes, or effects. I started to talk about hoof prints in wet sand. But you could have recent dropping of the passing of horse. You could have the sounds horses make. You could have horse sweat, whatever. All these sorts of things. I mean, another more pedestrian would be smoke and fire and heat, because, you know, smoke is a sign, is a cause or an effect of fire. Heat is an effect of fire. So heat stands for fire, smoke for fire, you know, ashes and so forth. Red spots and an elevated fever. Now, those are also symptoms or signs of having, say, the measles, which reflects the fact that sometimes it takes an expert to be able to read the signs, in that case, presumably a physician, a doctor. On the other hand, when you look at an ordinary language like English, what you have is words that are merely habitually or conventionally associated with that for which they stand. Notice the word horse, H-O-R-S-E. It doesn't look like a horse, doesn't have four legs, doesn't run around in the field, doesn't run races and occasionally win them. It isn't a cause or an effect of horses. Even the passing of a horse doesn't bring about the word horse. It's just one we use in English, in French, in German, in Russian, in Hebrew. It would all be different words that are likewise merely habitually associated to that for which they stand. Now, it turns out lower species exhibit these lower levels of mentality, such as iconic and indexical. But what differentiates human beings mentally or intellectually is their vastly greater capacity to utilize signs, things that stand for things merely as a matter of a habit or convention. So we can talk about future events without having to be there. We can, you know, unleash our imagination. We can make plans about the future, blah, blah, blah. There are a host of intellectual benefits that come from having a highly developed symbolic mentality, where each of the levels presuppose the lower. So symbolic entails indexical, which in turn entails iconic. So you can find all this in the book, The Evolution of Intelligence, where I discuss at great length the extent to which these language, among other properties, is genetic and inherited, can be passed on from generation to generation through sexual reproduction, or the extent to which it's acquired as a function of our circumstances in learning, where humans, like monkeys, are particularly good at imitative learning. That's something we're quite good at. Well, I'm not quite sure where these Antifa people all got picked up their tips, but it turns out Antifa groups are celebrating the autonomous zone, so that the Los Angeles anti-fascist bloc, which of course is an ironic abuse of language because these people are pure and simple fascists, or as simple as any brown shirt organization ever was. Where to go compares the situation to Portland in 2018 when Mayor Ted Wheeler allowed a similar Antifa zone to exist inside the city for 5 weeks. Get this. Not only did it become a biohazard site with intravenous drug abuse, the local businesses and residents were terrorized. Taxpayers had to pay for the extensive cleanup. Remember, you're not going to get your trash hauled away. You're not going to gain recycling when you've got one of these terrorist enclaves. I mean, it's completely absurd. Neither Mayor Durkan nor the Seattle police have yet addressed the emergence of Free Capitol Hill. In an effort to proactively de-escalate interactions between protesters and law enforcement outside the East Precinct, Chief Best, that's the name of the chief of police, odd, right, because he's probably not, and Seattle police officers have removed barricades surrounding the East Precinct while safely securing the facility. In addition, the Seattle Fire Department has several vehicles stationed near the precinct to ensure emerging medical needs and fires are addressed if necessary. Keeping this area safe is critical, as there are approximately 500 residential homes in this block. Well, we'll see how that plays out. Meanwhile, a Washington State police chief was ousted after praising armed citizens who gathered to block rioters. This is the guy of the Sonomish Police Department who has been fired because of his praise for several hundred armed citizens who gathered to protect the town from rioters and looters. When Rogers said it was a festive night of tailgating and celebratory pleasantries, meaning they turned out but the threat didn't emerge, they didn't have to use their weapons, but he thought it was good that there were so many citizens who were willing to stand up for law and order and the peace and tranquility, there was an outcry on the internet from those who support the revolutionaries posing as demonstrators. It's no surprise the rioters never showed up. Rogers will stay on as a lieutenant and will be reassigned. So look at that. So you get protesters from a chief of police who's doing his duty. He's praising citizens who show up to reinforce. This is a perfect example of why I think having 100 million plus armed Americans is a good thing for the sake of the nation. But where the protesters and their allies, of course, are disenchanted because it discouraged their efforts to wreak mayhem. And for this, for doing his duty, the guy was replaced. I mean, this is so insulting. It's unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Meanwhile, Jim Stone has captured something very, very important. Turns out the Democrats are using Black Lives Matter to funnel international cash into their campaign contribution website, actblue.com. Jim Stone has just published this. Here's who ActBlue pays out to. Bernie 2020, $186,780,034. Biden for president, $119,253,857. Elizabeth Warren, Presidential Exploratory Committee, $93,498,053. Pete for America, $78,100,960. Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, $55,689,603. You get the idea. So when you land on the Democrats' campaign funding site after clicking the link from Black Lives Matter, you get this page. We appreciate your support of the movement and our ongoing fight to end state-sanctioned violence, liberate black people, and end white supremacy forever. Think about that. Their fight to end state-sanctioned violence, you know, and where is the evidence of that when at least half of the police forces across the country are made up of minority members and possibly, I bet, in many cases, even more? Where's the state-sanctioned violence coming from? Liberating black people, meaning getting out of prison early or not even incarcerating them, even though they have the highest propensity among the subpopulations of the United States to commit crimes. These are all points you're not hearing from the mainstream media. And end white supremacy forever. Think about that. It is not a hoax, folks, Jim Stone writes. The riots are being funded directly by the Democrats, and now we have solid proof. Additionally, it is obvious they are using Black Lives Matter to fund campaigns because people hate the Democrats so much, no one is contributing. And Soros, Gates, Zuckerberg, and more do not want to pay for it all themselves. Black Lives Matter is receiving international funding. How does that work when the same coffer is paying for campaigns? And look at the goal. Liberate black people and end white supremacy forever. Question, how do you liberate that which is not enslaved and end white supremacy forever? Answer, South Africa 2.0, compliments of the Democrats financing website. Now, what Jim Stone is referring to is that in South Africa, which had been long dominated by the white minority there, and was prospering phenomenally. South Africa was one of the countries with the highest standard of living in the world at the time, when the populist movement led to turning power over to the blacks. And many of the whites even surrendered their weapons. And what happened? The blacks slaughtered them. They were slaughtered. I mean, you got to read about it to believe it. This is what happened. Now, that is called ending white supremacy forever. That's what they're talking about. Don't have a lot of doubt about it. That's the example. That's the exemplar in their minds. Meanwhile, Amazon CEO Bezos publicly attacks a customer over All Lives Matter comment. Now, this might sound relatively insignificant, but when you consider this is the richest man in the world and Amazon.com, the most powerful company, you got to put two and two together here. Get this. It's not officially controversial to say that all lives matter. Jeff Bezos, Amazon CEO, however, chose to attack one of his customers in an email for saying all lives matter in an attempt to bully others into towing the Black Lives Matter line. The controversial billionaire who regularly champions left-wing causes was widely condemned for his bullying when he uploaded a screenshot of the email to his Instagram account. Just think about that. Not only did a billionaire CEO scold a customer for saying all lives matter, which has to be about as obvious a truth as anyone could ever assert, but he also uploaded the email to Instagram to publicly humiliate and shame the customer and anyone who might agree with him. Bezos at least blurred out the surname of the customer, but scolded her. "No, Macy, I have to disagree with you," he said. "Black Lives Matter doesn't mean other lives don't matter. Black Lives Matter speaks of racism that black people face in our law enforcement and justice system." I say again, actually, it's not clear that that is the case. I'm seriously uncertain that that is the case. Because while the evidence that is typically advanced is that the proportion of blacks in our prisons greatly exceeds the proportion of blacks in our population at large, I've actually explained why that's the case. Blacks have a much higher propensity to commit crime. They're more disposed toward criminality. And if you assume the Justice Department works relatively equitably, and I realize it's fraught with many inequalities, but if you assume then there are more blacks in prison because more blacks have been found guilty of their crimes by undergoing the due process the Constitution requires in order for the state to impose punishment by depriving you of your life, liberty, or property. Okay? Now, the whole argument is based upon the faulty premise that all of us are equally disposed toward criminality. But as those statistics I was reporting before show, even if I didn't mention it at the time, Asian Americans have a minuscule representation in terms of criminality. So by far the overwhelmingly criminalistic segment of our society is the black population, second most Latino. Then you get whites that are relatively distant third, and then way, way, way back, Asians. Just virtually, you know, they're by far the most law-abiding. Now, here's how Bezos continues. I have a 20-year-old son, and I simply don't worry he might be choked to death while being detained one day. It's not something I worry about. Black parents can't gay the same. Well, he's talking, of course, about George Floyd, and we know now that was all a staged event. He and the officer knew each other for some 17 years. They worked together, and I'd observe fairly obvious point that if he asserted I can't breathe some 18 times, then obviously he could breathe, because if he couldn't breathe, he couldn't have said I can't breathe that many times. The commentary here, Bezos is wrong. While some parents may worry about their child being killed by the police, statistics show that they are more likely to be killed by members of their own community or in a random attack or mugging. Last year, police officers killed 9 unarmed black men. Tucker, I think, said there were a total of 10. And in almost all of those instances, there were aggravating factors that made the deaths almost unavoidable. In the handful of cases where the cop was wrong, they were prosecuted to the full extent of the law. I think that's exactly right. Meanwhile, and we have the very odd situation that in an interesting tweet, the New World Order has made headline news, conspiracy no more. Joe Biden will enable the policies for the New World Order. The only one standing between you and them is Trump, or many of these policies are ones advocated by the Chinese government. I have perhaps mentioned in passing, but I want to emphasize here tonight, that in my opinion, all the social media censoring, the demonetization and all that is to impose a social merit system where if you conform in your actions and your speech to the preferences or dictates of the government, then you're going to be just fine. Your posts aren't going to be censored. Your videos aren't going to be demonetized. But if you speak out against the policies of the government, much less create a video, then you are going to be punished. This is the social merit system at work here in the USA. And I'm glad that the Donald is paying attention now, because Twitter very stupidly censored some of his own tweets. I mean, that was just about as dumb a thing as they could have done. But good for the rest of us, because it sensitized the president to the absurd actions that are taking place for each of us every single day. Meanwhile, Biden surrogate Terry McAuliffe slips up and admits the campaign prefers Biden stay in the basement. This is, this is like a crazy relative who keeps in the attic, except this is a guy who's brain damaged and they're keeping in the basement. Get this. Terry McAuliffe, a top campaign surrogate for Joe Biden, just slipped up when he was recorded admitting that the presumptive 2020 Democratic presidential nominee's campaign prefers he stay in the basement. In a video obtained by Fox News, McAuliffe can be seen admitting this to a group of Democrats from Virginia. People say all the time, oh, we got to get the vice president out of the basement, McAuliffe told the Norfolk City Democratic Committee during a Zoom meeting on June 6. He's fine in the basement. Two people see him a day, his two body people. That's it. Let Trump keep doing what Trump's doing. In other words, he thinks Trump is destroying himself when nothing could be more the opposite. And the fact that they want to keep Biden in the basement where two people see him a day. And this guy was supposed to be able to run the country, the United States of America, be the leader of the free nation. Embarrassing. McAuliffe continues, it's hard for the vice president to break through, he added. You've got the COVID crisis. He's not a governor, doesn't have the National Guard. He's not the president, doesn't have the briefing room. He needs to come out strategically. And when he says something like he did on race relations 2 days ago, it needs to have a big impact. Thoughtful. And that's what we're preferring that he actually do at the time. I mean, what's thoughtful about anything Joe Biden has ever said? Remember, for 30 years, when he was running for president, he never won a single primary or a single caucus. It wasn't until South Carolina when Google shifted gears and began sending out vote notices for the vice president who had served with Barack Obama to the black community, and they've been manipulating, rigging the election ever since. We know from Robert Epstein, who's the editor-in-chief of Psychology Today, in his testimony to Congress of last year, that Google generated between 2.4 and 2.6 and 10.4 million additional votes for Hillary in 2016. I have no doubt that Google was responsible for the Democrats regaining control of the House in 2018. And I have no doubt, and Epstein confidently predicts, they're going to generate 15 million additional votes for the Democratic nominee in 2020. It's really fascinating. Everyone has noticed that Biden's been making limited campaign appearances, even from his basement, since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Even with these limited appearances, Biden has still made a series of humiliating gaffes that the campaign has struggled to recover from. Unfortunately, it appears that Biden's strategy of staying in the basement is actually paying off for him. As recent polling has stated, he's taken the lead over Donald Trump. Well, don't you believe it? Those are more fake polls. Do you remember back in 2016, we were being guaranteed by the pollster that Hillary Clinton had a 99% chance of winning the election and that Trump voters might as well stay home. Well, this is just more and more bullshit. Meanwhile, and this is an interesting example, when I offered courses on critical thinking, among the examples I use is how you can use language to spin an event. Suppose you have, there's a girl who just likes to talk, right? Well, you could spin that positively. You know, let's call her Meredith. Meredith talks a lot. That's the neutral description. Well, a positive would be Meredith has a lot to say. A negative would be Meredith just won't shut up. You know, Meredith is a chatterbox constantly. Well, look, Donald Trump is trying to revive the American economy, get America back to work again, right? It's indispensable. All the governors, all the mayors are discovering now that they don't have any tax revenue. They don't have any money to run their government. So we're already having the, you know, Minneapolis calling for federal aid. Well, Minneapolis let the rioters burn down their own city, I'd say, with Trump. Let them deal with it. They didn't use their police. They didn't use their National Guard. They had the resources to cope, just as Seattle has the resources to cope. And I'm interested in an update because the last I heard was that, well, when they took this Capitol Hill area, where, as I recall, my son used to reside, when they took this Capitol area, there was a lot of food for the homeless, but that in the meanwhile, the homeless took the food so that the protesters, the Antifa groups, now don't even have any food, and they're begging to have food to be resupplied. So here's Noam Chomsky, whose CIA credentials, I guess, needed a bit of burnishing. Amid protests and pandemic, says Chomsky, Trump's priority is protecting profits. Think about it. See, this is just negative spinning. Get the country back to work. Everyone has an income. everyone can get back to paying taxes. Businesses have the resources to resupply, to conduct their business. And of course, taxes are going to begin to flow again to the local, state, and federal government. And of course, companies, once they're back in business, are going to have profits. But look how ridiculous it is to suggest Trump's priority is protecting profits. This is Noam Chomsky, who's another despicable. He belongs in the basket of deplorables, along with Alan Dershowitz, whom I have condemned to hell, eternal damnation, for claiming we don't have the right to defend ourselves against mandatory vaccination. Your life may depend upon it. You have the right of self-defense. These vaccines cause brain damage in the case of the N1H1. They cause paralysis in the case of the polio vaccine. They cause even death in the case of one of these vaccines to prevent an obscure sexually transmitted disease. They cause autism. I mean, what the hell is wrong with Alan Dershowitz? Has he never heard of the Nuremberg Code, which was passed in the wake of World War II by the Nuremberg tribunals in the wake of the discovery that Joseph Mengele had performed all kinds of bizarre medical experiments on prisoners who had no right to refuse? Dershowitz is putting us all in that same category as having no right to refuse. Well, all the medical societies emphasize the necessity for informed consent, that no medical procedure, and that would include an inoculation, is permissible without informed consent from the party receiving the inoculation. Most Americans don't even think about it. Well, they better think about it now, because I have no doubt that these vaccines are going to be designed to implant you with a microscopic chip that's going to enable all your body functions to be monitored for afar, to be have your mood manipulated, and even if they so are so inclined, to kill you. So don't do it. It's stupid. You have the right to say no. Alan Dershowitz would take that from you. And I say, this man turns out to be a despicable POS, a despicable POS. And everyone, I think, knows the meaning of that phrase, because there are a lot of those out there who are opposing his authorities who turn out to be nothing but gigantic examples of POS, including Anthony, Tony the Rat Fauci, who has known at least since 2005 that hydroxychloroquine is a miracle drug for coronavirus, and where, by the way, we just had the unbelievable embarrassment of the New England Journal of Medicine and The Lancet, the oldest medical journal in the world, when the fraudulent study they published debunking the claims of hydroxychloroquine to be a cure-all have themselves been exposed as fraudulent, totally fraudulent. Meanwhile, get this, speaking of vaccines, in the UK, mobile vaccination centers and shipping containers could immunize 60 million people in 4 months. The Waugh Thistleton Architects has proposed creating 6,500 mobile vaccination centers and shipping containers that could travel around the UK and immunize the entire population against coronavirus in 16 weeks. Well, that would be just great if we had a dandy real vaccine, but we don't need a vaccine. We don't need an intrusive. We don't have a needle stuck in an arm. We can take a few pills and they'll make us immune, HCQ. And I looked through these containers and they're all worked out. Over 12 weeks, these shipping containers could be mobilized throughout the country in car parks and other public places to vaccinate the entire population of the UK. But I'm telling you, looking at these, they've already designed them. Looks to me like they're already mobilized, already up on wheels. Completely disgusting. The modules take advantage of the linear form of a standard 40-foot container. Well, with patients entering at one end and exiting through the other, and mind you, they'll never be the same again. They'll never be the same again. I tell you, treat these vaccines as though it's a matter of life and death. Because it is. In fact, even Bill Gates, Don Bill Gates of the medical mafia, including Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci, as its conciliary, as it were, has admitted that if the world of roughly 7 billion were inoculated, were vaccinated with his COVID vaccine, that would bring about a death of around 700,000. 700,000 deaths from being vaccinated against a disease that isn't going to take 700,000 deaths. In other words, the cure truly is worse than the vaccine. Now, notice how all this rioting, looting, Black Lives Matter, Antifa mayhem broke out just as the COVID crisis was subsiding, just as the various states are opening up to go back to work. And, you know, that cannot be a coincidence. It's increasingly apparent that the Democrats are pulling out all the stops, that they have powerful allies, including George Soros, Hillary Clinton, and even the Rothschilds, who are eager to take Donald Trump out of office. They began with a Russia hoax, which was completely manufactured. I have a whole book about it, exposing the Russia hoax. Totally fraudulent. There was no Russian hacking. Seth Rich, who was a Bernie supporter, IT guy for the DNC, downloaded directly from the DNC files and with the help of Kim.com, a familiar internet personality, and got the data transferred to Julian Assange. Turns out there are even email communications directly between Seth Rich and Julian Assange. I mean, it's that bad. It's that blatant. Hillary didn't want anyone to know about her own Russian involvement. Remember, in case it slipped your mind, as Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton sold off 20% of U.S. uranium reserves located in Oregon. This is where we had the shooting up in Oregon. It had to do with the uranium reserves Hillary was selling off to Russia for a $145 million donation to the Clinton Foundation. That action had to be approved by Barack Obama as president. And I say, if Julius and Ethel Rosenberg received the electric chair for sharing then U.S. atomic secrets with the then Soviet Union, what do Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama deserve for selling off 20% of U.S. uranium reserves to Russia? I mean, this is so disgusting. Meanwhile, employing germ warfare, biological warfare against American citizens, these deep state operatives who want to bring us the new world order can bring about little mini spikes anywhere they want, so that even Forbes, which is a highly responsible magazine, has published Arizona hospitals told to activate emergency plans amid coronavirus spike. Since Arizona lifted its stay-at-home order on May 15th, coronavirus cases have increased by 115%, reaching record highs and leading officials to call on hospitals to fully activate their emergency plans as intensive care units reach capacity. Well, there's so much bullshit out there, but it would be very easy for them to bring about local, little local episodes here. Alarming is how Dr. William Hanage, an epidemiology professor at Harvard University's T.H. Chan School of Public Health, notice the Chinese name. No doubt a huge grant was given to Harvard for their School of Public Health, where the Chinese, I would infer, have major influence now, characterize Arizona's situation to AZ Central. The only sort of crumb of comfort that I can find is that I think in general it's sort of easier to social distance in Arizona than it is in other places. 28,396 is the number of Arizona COVID-19 cases, 1,074 of which have been fatal, according to the New York Times. Now, bear in mind, why is this professor of epidemiology at Harvard, no less, not acknowledging what the Center for Disease Control has acknowledged itself already, namely that the death rate from the coronavirus is no worse than that of the seasonal flu for adults, and for children, it's vastly less. If you're 0 to 17, your chances of dying from coronavirus are about equal to that of being struck by lightning. It's that bad. So why isn't this SOB making that point? Why are all of these people so corrupt that they're giving us nothing but fake news? And besides, we know lockdowns don't work. If you want to find a massive repository of accurate information, go onto my blog at jamesfetzer.org and just look through the last two dozen are virtually all about the coronavirus pandemic and explaining how it's a political and not a medical emergency. This is a political phenomenon, a political stunt. It's not a medical emergency. And where lockdowns do no good. In fact, the states where they didn't have lockdowns, nations where they didn't have lockdowns have fared far better. There's a consensus among experts. The best way to deal with a contagious disease is to keep everything as normal as you possibly can. Go about doing your work. Isolate the sick. You don't quarantine the healthy. You quarantine the sick. Let the healthy people get back to work. It strengthens your immune system to be outdoors. Sunlight is a great cure for many of the problems that affect us. And the masks are a calamity. What's going on with the mask? You're recycling your own CO2, your own oxygen-depleted exhaust in your mask, and you're rebreathing it, which means that your bloodstream is not getting fresh oxygen to resupply the cells on your body, but only already depleted air, which isn't going to do the job. It's going to bring about the death of cells in your body, including brain cells, where I'm predicting that by the end of this traumatic experience, this completely fraudulent episode, we're going to find the average IQ of Americans has dropped by 5 points. Now, here's a very nice Ben Garrison cartoon. This guy may be, I think, our nation's most brilliant political cartoonist. We have a whole host of individuals wearing different masks, and each one has its own slogan. The masks speak. The first, I live in fear. The second, I believe CNN. The third, I will snitch on you. The fourth, I believe in Agenda 21. The fifth, I want safety, not freedom. The sixth, I want medical tyranny. The seventh, my parents are hurting my immune system. The eighth, I love Bill Gates. The ninth, I do what I'm told. The tenth, I want mandatory vaccines. The 11th, I enjoy virtue signaling. 12, it's all Trump's fault. 13, the new normal. And I suspect Ben Garrison picked 13 because that's the unlucky number. Meanwhile, get this. Who will respond if there's no police force? Blitzer asked city council president. She could not respond. On Monday, CNN's Wolf Blitzer, who, by the way, has long ties to the CIA, asked Minneapolis city council president Lisa Bender and vice president Andrea Jenkins over calls to defund and dismantle the Minneapolis police force. During the interview, the show's host asked how they can address public safety by dismantling the police force, and what are its implications for the safety of the community? The city council president responded, our community is ready to reimagine public safety from the ground up, to think holistically and to make sure every single member of our community is safe. Obviously, vapid nonsense, complete bullshit. However, the host remained unsatisfied with Bender's response and the lack of concrete solutions. What happens if there's a criminal out there with a gun who starts shooting people? Blitzer pointedly asked. Who will respond if there's no police force? Bender replied it had become their top priority to ensure that all members of their community are safe. She pointed out that for over 150 years since Minneapolis Police Department was established, their model of law enforcement was not working. With that, Bender suggested they should invite the whole community, as she went on to call on all 9 members of the Minneapolis City Council to make a commitment A commitment to what? Blitzer. What happens if there's a criminal out there with a gun who starts shooting? Minneapolis City Council president. It's becoming increasingly clear that our model of policing isn't working. This is just embarrassingly bad. Democratic lawmakers, operatives, and commentators are calling for the defunding or abolition of America's police forces in the wake of Officer Derek Chauvin's killing of unarmed black man George Floyd, except it was all a stunt. While the proposal is popular among the party's progressive activist wing and on Twitter, it faces a hard wall of resistance among the wider public. A recent YouGov poll showed fewer than 20% of Americans of all parties support any cutting of police funding, a finding consistent with decades of polling, fewer than 20%. Police abolition's unpopularity, moreover, is bipartisan. The YouGov poll found that just 16% of Americans favor cutting police funds, including 16% of Democrats, 14% of Hillary voters, and only 33% of blacks. Data from the general social survey stretching back to 1984 find that fewer than 20% of white, black, and Hispanic responders believe that police should be given less money, never mind defunded altogether, which is consistent with broad support for police generally. As of 2017, 9 in 10 black, white, and Hispanic Americans opposed reducing the number of police in their community. More recent data indicate that police continue to maintain majority support among Americans, widely considered among the most trustworthy institutions in the country. Let me remind you, I'll be taking calls after the break. 540-352-4452. I repeat, Mitchell will take your call. 540-352-4452, and we'll talk about these matters, because in my opinion, what the Democrats are doing is sure political lunacy. It's out of desperation. They're bringing out everything they can to try to defeat Donald Trump, but frankly, it's not working, and I'm highly confident it won't. They're in for a massive defeat. Call me right now after the break. Get a hold of Mitchell, 540-352-4452. See you on the other side.
The government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. check it out.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, I'm very pleased to have as my first caller one of my favorites, I admit, Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Lay on, Giuseppe.
Good evening, Professor. How's your hump day going? Not too bad. You know, God, you were on fire the first hour hammering all these points. You know, the funny thing is this has been going on a long time. And if you look back to late 19th century when Kaiser Wilhelm and his prime minister Otto von Bismarck, along with Tsar Nicholas Alexander, blocked the globalist bankers from instituting their one world banking system and government then. And in both cases, the globalist parasites swore a blood feud on both individuals and were ultimately destroyed by the Rothschild minions. And then you look to the World War One and the Bolshevik Revolution, and that was implemented by the so-called kosher sandwich of the one slice of bread is the Rothschild globalist bankers, and the other side of the bread is their supposed enemy, but they're really working for the same team, the communist Bolsheviks. And so it's funny that Otto von Bismarck on his deathbed said, you know, because they thought, just as Hitler had thought in World War II, they had negotiated a peace. They had achieved what they wanted, but the subhumans betrayed the negotiation and would suffice with nothing but their complete destruction. And then look at what they did to Tsar Nicholas Alexander and their family. And I think you see that kind of inbred insanity occurring today. Whereas the Zionist slice of bread is stealing hundreds of trillions. I can't even fathom that many $100 bills. I mean, I can't. It's probably, you know, 100 football fields filled 6 feet high. I'm just guessing, but it's so beyond belief. They've stolen that much from the American public and this economy. And then you've got the 21st century techno Bolsheviks, which are, you know, George Soros, that subhuman POS, is the front man, but it goes well beyond that to essentially the Bolshevik communists. And so I think they're going for the throat right now because especially in America, people are waking up that vaccines are absolutely toxic garbage. There's the natural food and supplement and healing industry is just gone over $100 billion annually, which is non-trivial. And so I think you're looking at the fact that this op has been going on for quite a while, since really the false flag of 9/11, where they began their operant conditioning with fear and terror. And the boogeyman then was the Wahhabi Saudi terrorist. And now the boogeyman is even worse. It shrunk and it's the coronavirus terrorists, the boogeyman that you can't see, but it can be everywhere. And so you must wear masks that do absolutely no good against the virus. And you must kneel now to the Bolshevik rioters and withdraw police who could keep some type of order for the average person. So it's really interesting. It's a weaponized attack by the minorities in play, the weaponized minority of the disenfranchised urban thug and the weaponized minority of the bizarre mentally ill LGBTQ, the transsexual, and then that's the weapon at the bottom, and then the weaponized minority at the top is these insanely parasitic international bankers.
Well, Giuseppe, those are typically thoughtful and historically well-founded observations you have made. What dumbfounds me is how blatant and open the Democrats and their allies are in this instance, where Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and the Democratic Party are essentially a single amalgam, and where, you know, what ought to have been done is to fight to the last man to prevent a terrorist group from taking over a police department. I mean, that's the worst possible outcome for all the reasons I've enumerated: getting access to high-quality weapons and ammunition, all kinds of resources available to the police not normally available to civilians, particularly not available to terrorist elements. Also access to their command and communication. Who knows if any police communication out of that precinct will ever again be secure. They ought to have fought to every last man. I'm actually very confident if the police had put up a fight that these Antifa terrorists, who are basically cowardly individuals who act under the cover of anonymity, they would be wearing masks even if there were no coronavirus. That is their inclination, would have been defeated outright, and we would have an end to all this nonsense. Similarly in Seattle, probably an even easier case in Minneapolis. Instead, they basically have the police withdraw and surrender and grant access to these Antifa hordes. I mean, that is disgraceful. But that's what we're getting from the Democrats again and again and again across America. I mean, they have cash in their chips. They don't give a damn about the American people. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about anyone. They're willing to sacrifice the whole country to regain political power. That's what this is all about, pure and simple. And your delineation of those historical parallels, I thought, was quite astute.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right with how the Democrats are operating. But what's interesting about one of the other psychological operations that they're going all in on is the Trump derangement syndrome. They've been spending, you know, the last 4 years saying, oh my God, Donald Trump is Beelzebub incarnate, and everything he does, Donald Trump is evil. And there was an awesome roundtable on Revolution Radio Studio A today, run by Scorpio and Steven. And one of the fellows brought up an excellent point. I don't want to use the same descriptor twice so early. Was that Newt Gingrich was asked about Donald Trump, and even though he's bending over backwards to Israel and doing all these things for Wall Street and everything, they're still coming at him, as you well know and have documented the last 3 years, with the insane Russiagate thing, which was a lie, and now the insane impeachment, which was led by the dual citizen traitors in the House. And Newt Gingrich came out and said, I believe the gentleman in the roundtable quoted it in 2016, when he was asked, why do the both parties hate Donald Trump so much? And they said, because he's not one of the insiders, which is the whole idea of, you know, is it the Freemasons? Is it the Illuminati? Is it, you know, the whatever? But there's some secret cabal that really runs this stuff, and it just drives them insane, especially the Zionist and communist wing of that cabal, because the people who elected Donald Trump — I have a friend who's a playwright just down the road from you in Milwaukee, brilliant guy. In fact, he wrote a play in 2008 about the collapse of Wall Street that's happening now. So he prophesied it like 12 years ago. And essentially I started thinking about him and I lost my train of thought.
Well, I'll just tell you, Donald Trump still has tremendous support among Republicans, particularly those who voted for Trump in the past, who are really largely independent. I mean, Trump, after all, transformed the Republican Party. It was very stodgy. It was all for limited government. It really did represent corporate interests. He has transformed it into a new, more vital, populist version of a Republican Party. I believe Donald Trump really cares about the American people, and his actions show it. That economy truly was lifting all boats. We've heard the story in the past. For Trump, it was actually true. This is why that recent Rasmussen poll has shown that 40% of likely black voters, I mean, this is just in the last 10 days, 40% of likely black voters are supporting Trump because they have the lowest paying jobs in the country, but their wages are rising at the highest rate. He's benefiting blacks and Latinos. He's cutting off the spigot of low income, of low wage workers from the southern border so they can't just steal their jobs away from those who are finally seeing an improvement. I mean, this is another reason why the Democrats are so desperate and are pulling out all the stops, even resorting to Bolshevik tactics. This really is Communist Party tactics. You were making such nice points, Giuseppe. We have three other callers standing by, Giuseppe, so I want you to stay here. I want to come back to you, but I'm going to bring in, first of all, Bill from Australia. Bill, give us your thoughts.
Well, in Australia, we have the black people protesting too. But it's probably the same in America. I think it used to be you had to be 1/8 Aboriginal to be called an Aboriginal, and I think it's now 1/16. So my question is, if you're 1/16, you're 15/16 not. And, you know, it's just crazy, you know. You often see people on TV in there, and I've met them, and they say, I'm Aboriginal, and you wouldn't know. That's my point.
Okay. Good. Well, glad to have you. We also have Chase from California. Chase, join the conversation.
Hello, Mr. Fetzer. Man, I'm so upset right now. I feel like I'm at a replay of last week, but I woke up this morning, turned on the local news, and what I saw was at 3 a.m. last night, or this morning rather, some gunman opened up fire on a police station here in my neighboring county, and there's an active shooter situation right now and a manhunt going on. And so, of course, I'm thinking to myself, well, there's probably a minority or a black guy that opened fire, and sure enough, they released the footage, and it's 5'8 Hispanic male. A cop took a bullet to the face. He's in, I guess, stable but critical condition. And so now here we are, and you have open attacks on police officers. The guy killed a cop and another transient homeless guy, white guy, of course. And here we are again, you know, the same old thing, different day. It's like every day brings its new challenges, but the script's the same. And I guess I'm just calling to voice my frustration.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad you did call. And look, the Democrats are encouraging aggressive actions against the police. Now, these are people who risk their lives every single day to protect and serve the American people. They deserve better. These Democrats are just disgusting, disgusting. Biden said, if you don't vote Democrat, you ain't black. Well, I say if you do vote Democrat, you're a lunatic, because the situation is so obvious, so clear. You're just defeating yourself. You're damaging yourself, your best interest, your country's interest. If you ever vote Democrat again, I'm telling you, it's that bad. It's that bad. We have enough. Stick around, too, Chase. I'll come back to you. Meanwhile, we have Paul on the scene. Paul, join the conversation.
Well, I'm going to try to do my best, but I'm very upset, you know, about the funeral.
That's right. You're the bigger Floyd. Mayor Fry.
I've been, I'm very, very sad. First, it was Noah Posner killed by the terrible Adam Lanza. And now, Trayvon Martin is Lord Georgia. I don't know if I can take it anymore.
Pretty good invitation. Yeah, he reminded me so much of Robbie Parker, Paul. You're 100% spot on. This mayor of Minneapolis is pathetic. He's a whip. He's a POS, another giant one. Where do they get all these people, all these mediocrities who are going to play these roles to oppose the best interests of their own citizens and undermine them and destroy their businesses and partake in phony, contrived events? It's stunning, Paul. You're right on. I mean, I appreciate the satire 100%.
No, you, Jim, I am very upset. I don't know if you could tell.
You know. Knowing you as I could tell exactly.
I swear to God, sometimes I listen to your show just to hear you say the word meanwhile. In fact, I would love to get like a $5 royalty for every time you say meanwhile in the first hour, because I'd be racking up the cash. And then also, at least once or twice a week, you go back to goddamn Alan Dershowitz. Goddamn him all to hell.
he deserves it. Well, look, Paul, you know, there have been many years when I thought Alan Dershowitz was a decent guy and an expert on the Constitution. I've seen him make innumerable appearances, and usually he was in the right. But in this case, he was grossly in the wrong. See, this is a classic example of disinformation. You build up credibility by 80% of what you say is true, but 20% is false. That's the payoff. Here you have Dershowitz, who's really built on a career where he's made mostly accurate, well-founded observations about the Constitution and the law. And then he squanders it. He just blows it on total and complete bullshit about not being able to resist mandated vaccination. I mean, he's just got his head where the sun does not shine. And I find that disgusting.
We know who he is and what he is, and they always show themselves. So I'll make two actual real quick points before you take on some actual intelligent callers that have something to say. But the first one would be to Chase and anybody else who, you know, bring up one of these shootings that may or may not be real. Just keep an eye out for, because they fake these things all the time. You've been down there in that area for a while. You remember the Isla Vista shooting with Elliot Rogers. That was a fake. Jim has uncovered so many of these fake shootings where the police are obviously in on it. In many cases, they are likely paid. So just be careful of what you see on the news and whether or not it might be real. There was a so-called Gilroy Garlic Festival shooting up in my neighborhood. And, of course, as Jim knows and other listeners know, that was fake. But just quickly, I made this point the other morning on Stormfront. It was very brief, but I actually, to be honest with you, this whole thing about defunding the police, there's got to be more than a few people like me where I don't care, to be honest with you, because just think of it this way. How many times in your life have you actually called the police that you needed help? Think about that just for a second. I'm just going to make this simple point, and then I'll leave it. One time in my entire life, okay, in my six decades of life, have I called the police. It was to report a stolen car, okay, to report my vehicle stolen. That's the only time I've ever called the cops. You know that famous saying that when seconds count, you know, the police are minutes away. And, you know, in my opinion, basically, it's going to free up a lot of people to do stuff that they would otherwise be inhibited to do. Multiple times in my life, there's things I would have liked to have done, you know, such as maybe kick some people's ass, maybe some young punks that were smart-mouthing me more than once or twice. But, you know, the police will be called on me or would get called on me, and I'd be in trouble, right? So there's a lot of inhibited action out there, and to be honest with you, I think there's tons of white people that's like, okay, fine, you know, take the police away. We'll take care of business the way that we used to take care of business, okay, back in the Wild West and even, you know, well past the Wild West. Things get handled. And go ahead. Let us have a free fire zone with these people.
I do think the case for national concealed carry is simply overwhelming. Trump ought to promote it. He ought to issue an executive order that every American has a right to concealed carry. That would cut down on crime dramatically all by itself at a single stroke. Let me just follow up on this absurdity in Seattle. I have a list of headlines here. Antifa releases list of demands after taking over 6-square-block section in Seattle and setting up armed security watch. List includes reparations and ending police department. Seattle protesters stormed City Hall after running cops out of precinct, establishing autonomous zone. Developing Antifa terrorists discuss plans to expand their occupied autonomous zone in Seattle, begin shakedown of local businesses. Antifa organizer in Seattle's autonomous zone begs for vegan meat and soy to keep area operational after homeless people take all their food. I rather like that last one. I mean, how ironic and appropriate.
I was basically done, and I would just say this. You know, Antifa can do whatever the hell they want to do. Nobody's paying them a salary, so sooner or later they're going to go home. And if the police are indeed defunded and they're nowhere to be found, then believe me, there's plenty of people that would love to kick Antifa's ass, and it would happen in a hurry. There's a great article online.
I think what's most important here, as all of these efforts are attempts to bait Trump into doing something, you know, with the American military, and frankly, he's not taking the bait. These are local. These are city issues. They have the city police. The states have the National Guard. They could have easily dealt with these matters already, both in Minneapolis and in Seattle. If they don't, it's like the slogan in the pottery store, if you break it, you own it. They broke it. They own it. Let them clean up their own mess, because, frankly, it's exposing to the rest of the country the hypocrisy of the Democrats, that they're self-serving power grabbers and they'll do anything, no matter how much it damages the local, the state, or the national economy to promote their political interests. It is disgusting. Giuseppe, let me bring you back, my friend, for further thoughts of yours.
Well, I remembered where I was going before I just lost my train of thought. Everything that's going on with the efforts of both slices of the kosher sandwich is to destroy the white European family unit and white European communities. And the madness, if you think about it, as we all do, we're all critical thinkers and we're not under the sway of any of this media entrainment. If you think about it, the individuals being vilified follow the laws, work hard at their jobs, make a decent living, have a little bit of comfort in owning a home or perhaps a little bit of land, and they're not rich, they're not powerful, and yet that is who is being vilified and these insane hulking black men don't feel safe walking on the street. And the way black people look at them, because as we all have known and cited, the statistics for violent crime of rape, murder, and violent crime overwhelmingly points to the perps being black and mestizo Indians. It's like, you know, 90% of that is those two categories, and everything else is the rest of the community and the civilization. And so instead of pointing out to rationally saying, well, it's okay, your constitutional right is to protest nonviolently, they're applauding these low-life subhumans for busting into banks, busting into Apple stores and stealing everything, busting into sporting goods stores and stealing every pair of Air Jordans in there. They're, you know, and letting them get away with it. But they're so oppressed. You know, the insanity is that if you just clean up your own community and clean up your own family unit, I know that's difficult when you're hopeless and you don't have a living wage job. That's a whole nother discussion of the kosher wing of the kosher wing. The Zionist slice has prevented the black underclass from ever arising, and the government is the key perpetrator. Why haven't they instituted a real program the last 20, 30 years, ever since that traitor Clinton, the rapist pedophile Clinton, where why didn't they create programs where you created small organic gardens in the ghetto and created in the old warehouses like fisheries and taught them how to be self-sufficient and taught them how to operate a business and operate in a community setting and teach them you know, just to be functioning in their own society. But what instead
but
the media has done is,
I'm going to jump in just for because, you know, you're saying something which, you know, makes me just want to respond, which is like programs for this. Why do they need, why would anybody need a program to grow a vegetable garden, you know, or to do all the other basic stuff that every other ethnic group seems to be able to do okay, including coming here and not speaking the language. You know, it's like I made a point in an email recently, and I'm sure you got it, is that, you know, everybody else just keeps their head down, shuts their mouth, and tries to take care of business, except blacks. Okay, now not all blacks, of course. I've known plenty of cool blacks, and I got a couple of black friends now. But the bottom line is that the vast majority have been, you know, and still are to this day not viable in most modern societies. It's just a fact, and there's no getting around it.
I think this has evolutionary dimensions that, you know, Africa was an easy place to survive without anticipating. It had generally constant climate. You know, fruits and nuts and food were relatively available. It's when the human species began spanning out to different regions where the weather varied, where you had serious winters, for example, and hot summers, that it required further anticipation, planning in order to survive. And remember, evolution favors those who are more adapted to the environment, so that those who weren't able to plan to anticipate tended not to have their genes perpetuated in future generations. When Africa, there was none of that evolution taking place, so that they remained at a relative primitive state where they weren't developing their intellectual abilities and their capacity to plan and take measures that are appropriate, which other groups of humans have demonstrated extensively.
That's more leaning towards this environmental, you know, theory.
I'm talking about genetic evolution, for crying out loud.
I know, but you're saying essentially that the environment has influenced the genetic evolution.
Well,
that may be partially true.
I'm just going to make a suggestion.
Just let me make my suggestion, then move on. Okay, you need to listen to a guy by the name of Kevin Alfred Strom on National Alliance Radio. He does a series of talks about the biological, anatomical, physiological differences between blacks and whites, and they are stunning. It's a difference of biology. We're different creatures altogether, and you could give blacks a million years, and they still wouldn't be able to invent a cardboard box or a paperclip. Okay, so that's my thing. Thank you.
Well, it wasn't necessary, but it's fine that you got that off your chest. Okay,
thanks. Okay.
I'm explaining that there are reasons why blacks do not appear to have evolved in certain ways that other subgroups, other races of human beings have evolved. It's fascinating to me, by the way, that the Asians are the most law-abiding, commit the fewest crimes in the United States, because they're probably the group that has, on the average, the highest IQ among those four groups we're discussing here. If you talk about Asians, whites, Hispanics, and blacks. So I'm not denying the sort of points that you are getting from your other source. I think evolution is so complicated that you can have, you know, interbreeding, there's a genetic drift, for example, is what happened when you have a group that's in a relatively isolated geographical situation with its own climate and interbreed to adapt to that climate, that tends to lead to, you know, variations among the races. Let me go back to Bill from Australia, who I have no doubt has some further thoughts he wants to add. Bill. Well, Bill's not here. How about Chase? Chase, are you still here from California?
Yeah, I am. I had a question. Did you ever come across a picture saying this is America, and it looks like Floyd's face in the center of it? It's a gentleman holding up a billboard. And then that same picture, and it really does look like George Floyd, was posted on the Obama Foundation Twitter, the official Twitter, on May 17th. And that's far prior to when George Floyd was actually, quote-unquote, murdered.
Which was on the about Tonight Trip. Yeah, I've already featured that. Actually, if I'd covered more of the stories I had on my agenda, I would have got to that one. Yes, that's very telling. That would have been one of the very next stories I covered, that the Obama Foundation was memorializing the death of George Floyd about a week before it actually took place. This is very much like Sandy Hook, where some of the participants in the FEMA exercise got ahead of the curve and put up donation websites on the 13th for an event that would not take place until the following day. Very good, Chase. You're spot on. You're absolutely right. One more proof this whole thing was managed and arranged by no less than not just the Democratic Party, but even the Obama Foundation itself. Yeah, Paul, did you want to come back?
I'd like to rebut what Paul is saying, to the extent that, you know, that's a pretty painting with a broad brush to make the claim about the blacks not making
And a million years is ridiculous.
A cardboard box.
Yeah, a million years is ridiculous from the point of view of evolution, too. There are all kinds of factors that could occur here. But
because there's some
Let Giuseppe speak. Go ahead, Giuseppe.
No, I get it's hyperbole. And the thing of it is, my point, two quick points, is that, number one, that they don't offer that it's so vital for intelligence to get really, really great nutrition the first 5 years of life. And that's why a lot of those young children are stilted. And secondly, going back to the original point.
That even here in the U.S. are getting a proper diet.
Absolutely. They give the mother a welfare card, whatever it's called, that card, WIC card, and then they go and buy, like, Libby's juice, which is just sugar water and not even real sugar. It's high fructose corn syrup. So these people are just really messed up, and you have to nourish the brain like any other organ. And secondly, in the macro sense, this is all an attack on our way of life by either entitled white suburban idiots who so believe this Bolshevik lies, or the white people are set up as a scapegoat. There is no white privilege. There's class privilege. Like, there's celebrity privilege. There's Wall Street billionaire privilege.
Giuseppe, there is black privilege. We're seeing it now. Blacks can loot and riot with impunity. They're not even being prosecuted. They may be brought in and booked, but then they're sent out the revolving door. That is black privilege. I mean, this stuff about white privilege is ridiculous.
Can Bill talk?
Yes, but
Bill, I'll bring him back in a second. Giuseppe was finishing his thought. Giuseppe, go ahead.
But the point is, you know, I was raised, and probably sounds like Paul and you were too, Professor, that respect is earned, and you have to pull your own pants up. And even in the worst situation, if you're knocked down, the fact that you get up and you find another way, which is, you know, I've had a very difficult life my whole life, and I'm not going to go into it, but I've gotten no breaks. In fact, really bad things have happened, but, you know, I always get up, and I've always sought to improve myself.
Yes.
And the idea that these people just they're irrational, you know, they want to be respected, but they haven't earned it. They don't realize that their actions define them. And it's just insane.
Let me give Bill from Australia a moment here before I
like children,
Chicago Brute. Bill.
Yeah, well, I'd like to stick up for everybody. I think we're all human and we should get along. And that black people are often very intelligent. A lot of doctors and those sort of people, they're so smart and they're black. I really don't put – and Indians are very smart.
The outlier.
They're black, they're dark brown, and they're very intelligent. You get a lot of Indians are so smart.
Yes. Bill,
I don't go along with all of this stuff.
I think you're right.
Ridiculous, Bill. You don't know that.
Paul was talking about Africans primarily and not Indians or Asians or others. Meanwhile, let me bring in Brew. Brew, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, so I got a quote here from 2016, as soon as I can pull it up.
It is 2016, Newt Gingrich on Donald Trump. Gingrich, when they are faced with the very real prospect of him, Donald Trump, of becoming the leader of the party, and it absolutely drives them crazy. Interviewer, why? Gingrich, well, because he's an outsider. He's not them. He's not part of the club. He's uncontrollable. He hasn't been through the initiation rites. He didn't belong to the secret society. They have no idea how to relate to him.
Good. Newt Gingrich. That's right. I think that's spot on. Some have said it's not really the Democrats versus the Republicans. It's Trump versus Washington, D.C. I suspect Giuseppe would endorse that. But the fact is that the Republican Party has nowhere else to go. Donald Trump is their leader, and he's succeeding beyond their wildest imagination. So except for a few, you know, turncoats, traitors like Mitt Romney, who is a giant POS, we've known that forever, and Lisa Murkowski, of whom I used to have kinder thoughts, both of whom have asserted they're thinking of not voting for Trump. And I say, well, to hell with you. Who gives a GD? We don't need your vote. They're disgusting. These are, you know, Republicans in name only. They're certainly not Trump people, where Trump is going for a brand, a robust form of Americans who care about their country and want to see it get better and not exploit it for their own personal benefit. So, Drew, I think you're on the right track there.
Obama Foundation post, you know, some people like Amazing Polly are saying that they posted a link to their website. And then even, you know, if you posted that link to the website a year ago, when you click on it, it just showing you the recent web page, the recent photo. So the, even Amazing Polly is trying to debunk that as being,
there's so much other proof that this is a Democratic controlled event.
I agree. I'm just suggesting
that's okay.
One thing that people are talking about that we need to maybe get a better look at it. I haven't had the time. I apologize, but I do. I keep bringing it up. I brought it up in several places now, so maybe other people can maybe have the time, because I've already seen it in a few places.
Can I have a shot?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dave from Minnesota. Bill, I'll come back to you. Dave.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the land of 10,000 communists. This is...
Yeah, I know.
Unfreaking believable. Say, Jim, I'm going to ask you a question here. This is definitely a false flag, and there's got to be Minneapolis police that know that this whole event is fake. Do you think, you know, I imagine a lot of them are, you know, of the Brotherhood, they're Masons, but God, there's some guys that got to speak out and let this be known. What you think?
I'm sure it will happen. I don't have any inside sources, but I wouldn't be surprised. You're going to get that by and by. All this is so obvious on its face when you look at it objectively, Dave. There's really not room for any doubt about it.
Yeah.
No, but Dave makes a very pertinent point, which just quickly I'd like to address, because this was talked about today on Stormfront, where Don Black has said, does the truth really matter anymore? I mean, and he multiple times he mentioned it and used that phrase in variations about does the truth really matter? And nobody on the show that was the host and no callers they took addressed it, which is yes and no. Okay, if the 24/7 narrative, which they control, is spewing out whatever it is they want, all the lies, how much truth, you know, that you have or somebody else has is pointless, because if they don't cover
Paul,
it, if they don't broadcast it.
Henry Kissinger observed a long time ago, truth doesn't matter, only perceptions. Which is why the infiltration of the media is so important. We have to break through, point out the kinds of obvious proof that this is an enormous scam, and it's doing unbelievable damage to the United States, in that the Democrats are a primary force behind it. I think those are the key elements that everyone needs to understand.
No. I just was more or less saying that it doesn't matter what police officers know if CNN doesn't put them on camera.
Oh,
that was my simple point.
Right.
That was my simple point. They control what we see and hear.
Well, of course they do. I thought it was remarkable that Wolf Blitzer, of all people, was putting the head of the city council of Minneapolis on the spot by asking, what are you going to do then after you dismantle your police department when someone pulls out a gun and starts shooting people? And she had no answer.
Well, did the guy that...
Giuseppe, then Dave. Giuseppe.
Yes, I was... you're absolutely right with perception. And then the total collapse of the school system and curriculum teaching you how to think or how to be self-sufficient. It's all about how do you feel and, oh, do you need a blanket and a safe space and go have a cry? Well, you know, life is really hard. And
right.
And it's how you fight that. But the funny thing is for at least another three decades, the majority is going to be the decent middle class, upper working class type person. And all these terrible antics are going to get Donald Trump reelected. There's just, you know, there's no way that the great silent mind your own business majority is going to validate the Democrats in any capacity.
Giuseppe, that's why they're going for voting by mail. It's easy to steal elections if you do voting by mail. Everyone can send in 100 or 1,000 ballots by themselves. It's ridiculous. It's the easiest form of fraud. I mean, next to manipulating these voting machines, which should never have been allowed. Most of them don't even allow a recount because they don't even keep a total. So they couldn't even figure out what had happened in Pennsylvania because so many of the voting machines were touchscreen that didn't even tabulate a total. And everyone knows they can be hacked. We had a Princeton professor in 5 minutes hack the machine and showed, you know, completely how it could be done. It's effortless. In my studies at computer science, it was so obvious that they make these programs for these voting machines proprietary. They won't share them. But it should be the simplest possible routine of taking a number n and adding one to it to produce a new number n plus one. There's nothing proprietary about that. That's simple addition. So if there's something proprietary, it's because they're redistributing the votes. It can be so simple as, you know, the opponent's going to win because of previous polling. So you simply rig the machine to have the votes that are cast for the opponent to count for your candidate and his to count for theirs. And then you have the right overall total number of votes cast. They just came out the opposite way in your favor. It's that simple. Let me go then to Bill. Bill, you wanted to squeeze a few more words in there.
Yeah, well, I'd just like to make the point that there's plenty of smart African people, but... And I don't think
God,
you help the courts by alienating the black people against us. But and the other thing is that this thing is fake. George Floyd, it's all a fake thing to upset to favor the Democrats, to get rid of Trump. It's all a fake thing, I agree. But there was that one with Eric Garner, and that was real. And so there's no denying there is bad things.
No, people have also white people.
We all get bad treatment. Can I just say that there are real cases?
Bill, there were a total of 10 blacks who were killed, unarmed blacks who were killed in all of last year. 10. You think that deserves a rioting, the looting, the building down, the burning down the nation over 10? Because those were investigated and found to be justifiable in at least 9 cases.
That's where it came from.
Hey, Bill, just real quick, go to Tommy Sotomayor. He's got a website. Okay, he's a black guy, Tommy Sotomayor, and he covers the white people that have been killed by cops, and we never hear about them. Including the guy that I just learned about
I'm not
the other
big
day
on
by
cops.
The name of Tommy.
I mean,
I'm talking Tommy Timpo, who was he was a schizophrenic man who the cops killed in Texas.
Ten times as many whites are killed by blacks as are blacks killed
by whites. I follow you closely. I know the graph. I know the graph, and more black women were killed too. I know the graph, and I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying what I said.
Cases, yes, there are cases, and they're relatively few and far between. And as a rule, the perps are prosecuted. The the police who misbehave are prosecuted. Let's get back to Dave from Minnesota. I know he had a lot more to say. Dave.
Well, I guess I'm going to give you guys a couple websites to check out. There's one called Conservative Hardliner, and they post a bunch of videos on there of the Antifa meeting resistance in the suburbs. It's pretty hilarious. It's against Conservative Hardliner. Yeah. And then Bombard's Body Language. You guys ever heard of that one?
No, go ahead.
That, you would find this interesting, Jim, because they look at body language of like Lindsey Graham, Judy Mikovits, let's see, what else did they do? Rod Rolstein, but I think you guys should check that out. And then one for Paul, since my background is Ukrainian-Romanian, Jewish Crucifixion of Russia, that you'll find on BitChute and 153 News. Very good.
That's a website? Yeah,
very good.
That's
No, it's a movie. It's a documentary.
Very good.
Jewish Crucifixion of Russia.
Very good, Dave. Paul, go ahead and take the field and add further thoughts of yours.
Okay, so just real quick, you know, I don't want to come off as this ridiculous, you know, prejudiced, racist, you know, bastard.
Too late.
But there's a reality that most people are not aware of, and I wasn't aware of it many years ago, but slowly but surely I've become educated. When you read what people wrote in the past, when you read what the English and European explorers wrote about when they went to Africa in the 17 and the 1800s, when you read some of the accounts of the Spanish.
Paul, I've heard enough about
Africa.
Stop
saying my name. Just let me
finish. I've heard enough about Africa. Drop it. Brew. Step into the bridge. Brew.
Well, you've heard enough. Have you heard about the
skull
of a white baby?
But, Paul, I'm going to mute you. Mitchell, mute Paul.
Go ahead. Mute me, Mitchell.
Do it. Bruce.
Mutiny.
Bruce. Go ahead.
I'll mute myself.
Paul, shut up. You just don't know. I'm very generous to you. I like you, but sometimes you just don't know when to shut up. If I tell you to be quiet, be quiet. Brew, come on in.
All right, I'm going to enter with the popcorn song. But anyway, I got a few things to hit on here. Well, first, let's start with the Antifa taking over city blocks in Seattle. Yeah. First of all, this has got to be have them doing this siege and taking over property that is not theirs and doing this front. This is kind of like bank robbers in a bank holding people hostage, you know, the whole nine yards. So the federal government doesn't have to really necessarily do this and he only has the sovereign ability. He only has the ability to do this if Seattle or the state of Washington says, Trump, can you help us out with federal assistance? Other than that, it's a state issue. They're dealing with a hostage crisis there, a seizure and whatnot. I mean, especially if they're armed. I don't know what kind of area it is, but perhaps there's residential. If there's residential, perhaps there's people there that are being held in, occupied by their unwilling, they're not volunteering to be occupied here. So on and so forth. Then of course, I don't know what kind of area it is, man, just like a hostage crisis, you wait them out, run them out of food and so on and so forth. And these people are going to get desperate and commit another move.
Mitchell is pointing out it's mixed business and residential.
Yeah. But somebody's got to be backing them up. It's got to be sanctioned by the city or the state. In order for them to have that kind of gumption, I want to say boldness to do such a thing. It's got to be, they had to be sanctioned, because I cannot see, even as these people are given their marching orders to do stuff and all this other stuff, that they actually went ahead and did something that brazen. There has to be sanctioned.
Well,
it's another stunt.
They ought to have been met with sufficient force to defeat the effort outright. Right off the bat. So it can only be because the mayor directed the police to stand down in Seattle, just as the mayor directed the police to stand down in Minneapolis, which tells me all I need to know, that the Democrats are fully complicit and supportive of all of these efforts by Antifa and Black Lives Matter to burn down the neighborhood to promote what they think is going to be the political benefits they'll derive, where it's going to backfire massively because it's been too blatant about it. Everyone can see what's going on.
Right. Now I want to go to this Jim Stone. Where, you know, Jim Stone uncovering how the funds towards Black Lives Matters and other little GoFundMes and other things that do funnel to the Democrat Party and their affiliates, you know, stealing money, laundering money through campaigns and whatnot. But here, liberate Black people and end white supremacy forever. Okay, again, we know this of all groups in the United States is the last people saying in any way, shape, or form, this white supremacy movement. We do know it's the Jews, and then we have your Black portion, and you have your Mexican portion, the La Raza, the race, and so on and so forth. These are the ones that are most outspoken and things like that. It's when it comes to generally white people, heritage Americans, look, we're just trying to go about our business, but we keep getting slapped in the face all these decades because of these people that go into the dual citizens of Israel that go in the United States Congress and Senate and whatnot, and they created all these affirmative actions. You know how many white people have their dreams, their education, their career goals, so much, and their businesses and their entrepreneurship, all of that been smashed because of affirmative action? We've already, any dream of supremacy, it's already been doused out and killed long ago.
Right.
See,
we've
you know,
I'll
hold on. I'll give you a reference for Bill in Australia. Bill in Australia, do you know here in the United States, and I heard this from Black people themselves on different various places, where they don't even want to go to a Black doctor because they know they're the doctor because of affirmative action. They'd rather go to a white person who had to fight and struggle just to get that education to be who he is instead of somebody who was there because of affirmative action. That's the reality.
I agree. Bill is rather naive about these matters. He's basing it on his own experience. That's okay. We forgive him for it. We're glad to have him here anyway. Let me go back to Giuseppe. Giuseppe, your further thoughts about these matters.
I think your point of 10 minutes ago that the Bolshevik Democrats are totally trying to bait Trump into a military response that can then be turned into he's Hitler and he's oppressive and good for him that he's just sitting back and let it all unfold. Because this is, you know, theft is theft. Looting is looting. Violence is violence. And, you know, I understand it's a mistake by these police to kneel with these idiots, and they're trying to calm them down and get them to disperse themselves. But, you know, they're so weak-minded and they're so based on irrationality. I don't believe they're going to unwind. I think this is just going to drag on and on. And there's
look. There are two kinds of rationality. Okay. There are actually three, but let me address two. What is rationality of belief? Can you figure out what's true given the available evidence? The second is rationality of action. Are the actions you're taking appropriate to accomplish your goals? They can know better, and that their position is preposterous in terms of their demands, for example. But if they're pursuing a goal by issuing these fabricated, non-justified demands because they think it might provoke a reaction by the president, in this instance, that can fulfill or advance their political agenda, then even though their beliefs, objectively considered, may be irrational, actually they're acting knowing the truth, knowing most of their demands are preposterous, but they're doing it as a matter of rationality of action to accomplish a goal that they're camouflaging on the basis of beliefs they don't actually take to be sincere ones. And what is further going on here is the idea of demanding the United Nations sends in troops to reestablish peace and tranquility in the United States. And I'll tell you, the moment the UN sends in a single goddamn troop, all hell is going to break loose. Believe me, the UN will be wiped off of the face of the earth, flat out.
As well it should. And I completely understand your your explanation, and it's very lucid. And the funny thing is the operators behind the scenes are the ones who know what's going on, and they're playing chess. The buffoons on the ground marching and looting and crying because Trump is such an oppressor. They're just literally weak-minded, weak-willed, weak-spirited, and just mentally controlled by the corrupt mass media and the other forms of entrainment. Over.
I'm very concerned that the militias and the 100 million-plus armed Americans not act prematurely, not take matters into their own hands, But I guarantee that if UN troops are sent into the United States, they will be obliterated. There will be no mercy, no mercy. So if this is what the Democrats want, they have no idea, because it's going to be catastrophic. Catastrophic. That, I have no doubt about it.
Completely agree. As well, they should be wiped
out. Can I say
something? And that leads to my bill. Hold on a second. I'm going to make my point. The fact is this is all an attack on nationalism, on people who want a sovereign United States. You look at everything, the vaccine scamdemic, the Black Lives Matter phony lighting a dry tinder forest on fire with the St. Fentanyl Floyd false flag. It's all leading to one thing, to further destroy the sovereignty of the United States, this one world government, this one digital currency scam that absolutely has to be fought. And you're right, the UN forces will be mowed down, and we need to kill every last one of them.
Every single one of those bastards. They won't have a chance. It's just ridiculous. Bill, if you want to squeeze in a word, make it quick.
Yeah, I want to stick up for myself. I just say I'm entitled to my opinion.
Bill. I said that. I said you're entitled to your opinion. I give you the chance to say
it. I think that these people should be tried for treason. You know, these people like the Democrats and these Antifa, they should all be tried for treason. Do you agree with me on that?
Bill, the local authorities have dozens of charges they could bring against them already, and they're not doing it. We'll see what happens. Trump has given them all the rope in the world. Everyone can see. Bill, be quiet. Everyone can see what's happening here. If the Democratic mayor of Seattle and the Democratic governor of Washington don't use the police and don't use the National Guard to clean it up, it's going to be obvious to everyone. Just as in Minneapolis, the Democratic mayor did not use the police. The Democratic governor did not use the National Guard. The two instances stand out, and they're going to damn the Democratic Party in the eyes of the American people. I guarantee you 100%. And I'm glad to have you here, Bill, and I don't mean to cut you off, but, you know, in certain ways, you are naive about American society, which is hardly unsurprising since you come from down under. But I'm still glad to have you here. I give you a chance to express your opinion just as I do others. And sometimes when they get a little carried away, as Paul did tonight with his fixation on Africa, I'm going to cut him off. And if you get carried away and I think you've said too much, I'm going to cut you off. And you just got to understand this, because this is what I'm doing here, try to give everyone an opportunity to speak their piece, to get the word out to the American people. I feel that my obligation as a host, especially being here on Revolution Radio, where I believe it's a great opportunity to interact with the American people. Thank you all for calling in, and thank everyone out there for listening.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone. Or human beings.
Time. When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming!
been with me!
Revolution Radio!
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction. On Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too